I don't know about you all, but I'm out of breath listening to Sam. It was a great listen. I really take a great deal of, I hope pride is the right word, but it's with a great deal of pride that I count myself part of this congregation. The work that everybody does, and so much of the work that the congregation does that nobody really knows about other than the people who receive the help and the assistance. I sometimes think of the church as a training ground for Christian behavior, a training ground for Christian behavior. We come in here, we close the doors to the outside world, and we assemble, and we study God's word. Yet, our behavior on the other side of that door, once we leave here, is expected to be no different than what it is in here. And like any training, if you want to call it that, like any training, learning to live like a Christian sometimes can use a refresher, reminders. And we do that. We have a wonderful supply of material to study from in the Bible. There are 27 books and letters or epistles in the New Testament of the Bible. And at least 13 of these letters were written by the Apostle Paul. In each of Paul's writings, we see, as we saw tonight, that Paul is focused on the gospel of Christ. And he corrects errors the churches, or people in the churches throughout the world were making. He corrects them with scripture-based truths. He teaches the doctrine of Christ. And Paul encourages us, just as he did the church back then. He encourages us because he knew that however Christians think of themselves this day, at this moment in their lives, we were all once new and weak in the faith. Each of Paul's writings is packed with passages ranging from just a single verse to multiple verses that can be studied in a single lesson and a certain lesson learned. It's important to remember to study those lessons, those passages, though, in context with the surrounding passages in order to understand God's message, the true meaning of the verse, of the passage. Romans 15 contains a passage that I'd like us to study this evening. And let's look at the context of the passage first. Looking at the context simply means looking at the circumstances that form the setting for an idea by which it can be fully understood. That's a dictionary definition. Why is this important? Why is context important? Well, in order to be numbered in this church, we have to understand and have to be able to apply what God has in mind for us as we study the Bible. We have to look at His Word accurately and truthfully. Sam pointed out earlier how people can make mistakes if they take things out of context and don't look at the whole message, the whole Word of God. As an example of how important the context is, I'd like to consider this notice that circulated in newspapers throughout the United States many, many years ago. And if I've used this before, I apologize. This notice said, Jesse James wanted for bank robbery. Okay. If we didn't know that Jesse James was a notorious bank robber, we could interpret the notice to mean that somebody wanted to hire Jesse James to rob a bank, on the one hand. But since we know the context, we have the context of knowing Jesse James is a bank robber, he already was a robber, we understand that this message is saying that the law is looking for Jesse James. So in order to avoid confusion, let's look at the circumstances leading up to Romans 15. The church in Rome was made up of converted Gentiles and converted Jews, people of very different religious and cultural backgrounds, and they had come together under Christ. But they needed help and encouragement to come together the right way. In his letter to the church, Paul told them that they needed to become followers of Christ without letting the baggage of each other's prior beliefs get in the way of their salvation, no matter what they wanted to hang on to. And leading up to chapter 15, Paul had just finished explaining how the stronger or the more mature Christians among them were responsible for helping the weak, the weaker, the newer Christians become strong also. Now let's begin reading in Romans 15:1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, does this mean that we should accept the scruples or the behavior of newer Christians just because they're new? The King James Version says, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, does that mean that the weak are also sick? It's easy to misconstrue. The answer to both these questions is no. Newer or weaker Christians often have the burden of habits that they bring into Christianity from their old sinful life. It's a burden to them. It's an infirmity. And these are the scruples that are noted here. And the stronger Christians are called upon by Paul to help the newly converted carry that burden, bear that burden, as they strive to become Christians themselves, stronger Christians. And verse 1 ends with the admonition to help them not to please ourselves. I think this should perhaps actually begin the second verse. Not to please ourselves, but instead, verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Let's help each other, not worry about our needs. The help of a stronger person should focus on benefiting the weaker one, not for any self-gain, and it also still has to be grounded in Scripture. Now, why? Well, to become more like Christ. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. This quote of Paul's from about Christ from Psalm 69 is the highest example of the love and the selflessness exhibited by our Lord and Savior. The reproaches, the treatment of Christ by his enemies came about because he chose not to please them. Not to please them, but to answer only to God, to please God, and he pleased God through the truth. Today we know what pleases God because we read in verse 4, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Scriptures teach us that God is patient toward us, but he won't wait forever. And knowledge of God from the Scriptures is comforting to his faithful followers. Why? Because we have the hope of the gospel, the hope of the promise of heaven if we continue to grow as Christians and remain faithful and to help others become stronger also. Now, Paul sums up his prayer for the church in Rome, with its people of so many diverse backgrounds, in verses 5 and 6. He says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and with one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, we read this apostolic command, therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And to be a Christian, we know, means to follow Christ. The Bible tells us that to truly follow Christ, we've got to hear and believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, as we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible also tells us that we have to be willing to change our old sinful ways, to repent, to live a new life, learning how to follow that example of Christ. We must also admit or confess our belief that Jesus is the Son of God, and we must be baptized for the remission of sin. We are not saved from sin until we are properly baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sin. In Romans 6:4, Paul teaches that we are buried with Christ through baptism into death. That's why it's essential. Buried with Christ through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul tells how to take that walk in newness of life, as he writes, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." In verse 4, the hope that every Christian has, he says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory." So being a Christian is not always easy, but we're born to walk in the newness of life when we obey the gospel of Christ and with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you desire to obey the gospel tonight and become a Christian, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing a song of invitation.